undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us His realm, His glory and His name, His glory and His name. Your grace in lowliness revealed, Lord Jesus, we adore, and praise to God the Father yield, and Spirit evermore. We praise you evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in the entrance psalm. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth song and sing praises. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord God, Jesus Christ, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, Thou takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, You wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of Your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in Him who made Himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas is found in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is found, or the gradual rather, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now the epistle found in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel.
Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory be to Thee, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
We confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today is that gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, the first portion. Let us pray. Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. You know, there are certain things that we like to have kind of predictable. We want water to come out of the faucet when we turn on the tap. We want the car to start when we hit that ignition switch. Even in this crazy age and time, we want certain things to be boringly conventional. We want our paychecks to be there on time. We don't want any unexpected expenses. No. There are just certain things that are just fine the way they are. No surprises, please. And maybe that's what makes Christmas such a special event for so many people. Maybe part of what makes our celebration of Christmas so easy is it's so easy to find Jesus on that holy day. We know right where to look for him, right there in the stable, lying in a manger. And Christmas never disappoints. We always find our Savior away in that manger, lying in a lowly cradle on Mary's lap, sleeping with the oxen nearby. And it's quite comforting for us to know that Jesus is right there for us. We want that baby Jesus there in the manger where he looks so cute and so innocent and to remain so helpless and not challenge us very much. In short, with Jesus in the manger, we can have our cake and we can eat it too. We can have this very predictable little cute helpless Savior, one who doesn't push us too much, who doesn't ask too much. I want us to consider God's movement for just a bit, to realize that God didn't permit the gospel writers to dwell on that manger scene for very long at all. It's something that we often overlook. Among all four gospel writers, relatively little time is actually devoted to a stable and a manger. As important as it was, announced by angels, accompanied by wondrous signs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all four of them, invest just a small amount of ink on the topic. Matthew devotes one verse to the birth of Jesus. Now, he does talk about the Annunciation to Mary. He does talk about the visit of the Magi. Luke, of course, being a doctor, he was kind of attention to detail kind of guy. He has 20 verses. Mark and John, not even a verse about the birth of Jesus. They, not directly anyway. And so you see, even the scriptures don't permit the baby Jesus to remain in the stable very long. Our gospel lesson today starts out with Jesus at the ripe old age of 8 days old. It was a short time after this that his mom and dad are already taking him to the temple, as was their custom, as was according to the law. And it was there that they encountered those two aged servants, Simeon and Anna. And we're going to deal pretty much with Simeon today, just with Simeon. He was that temple priest. And if you take a look at the gospel again, you see that little bit about him. He was a devout. He was a righteous man. And he had been told that he would not die until he had met the Savior. And so that's why he went in spirit to the temple. What exactly that means, we're not sure, but we know he was there. Simeon was a pretty ordinary servant of God. And we probably would have never heard about Simeon had it not been for this encounter with the Christ child. The baby in the manger that we've been contemplating throughout Advent and throughout Christmas was seen by Simeon as an altogether different person. He wasn't just a cute little baby. He was the one who would, as he himself described, would be the reason that many people in Israel would really be condemned, and many others would be saved. He would be a sign that would expose the thoughts of those who would reject him. And even more pointedly to Mary, Simeon said, on account of Jesus, a sword will pierce your heart. And we don't get that picture at the manger, do we? These are words that speak of a tumultuous change. Jesus came to change the world, to challenge us. He came to change lives that are engrossed in sin. He came to bring luster to the dullness of lives so long lived apart from God. He came to permeate with God's aroma those whose souls had been permeated with the stench of the world's sin. Now that sure doesn't sound like baby Jesus in the manger, the one we meet there. Simeon knew what this little child that he held in his arms was called to do. We read, and many of us are familiar with Simeon's song. We remember the words from the old hymnal, the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon's quest was to see, to hold that baby Jesus, and that was now fulfilled. He had gotten to see, he had been privileged to hold in his very arms the salvation of God for all of humanity. Imagine how that must have felt. It brought joy to this old man. It brought peace to him. It brought hope to his heart. His eyes were able to see into heaven because they had seen Jesus. And now his quest had ended. We remain on that quest to find Jesus like Simeon. But there are those who don't look for Jesus. And there are those who have no room, they don't have time for a Savior. But that's absolutely crazy when you think about it. Not seeking God is destructive. It would be just like a person refusing to breathe. You know what happens when you do that? Die. Not seeking God is contrary to that very image in which we were created. We were created in His image. To seek Him, to think we don't need God, is the height of arrogance. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 10, in his pride the wicked does not seek Him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. So connecting with Jesus is a vital quest of all humanity, and many people simply don't know this. We spend a lot of time searching for something. Searching for something that we're not quite sure of. We know there's something that's lacking in our lives. Something's just a little bit off. We kind of feel this longing inside. There's an emptiness that just won't go away. And all the shiny gifts, the new homes, the new cars, nothing seems to make it go away. And the truth is, there's nothing out there that will help. You see, it's a longing that can only be satisfied by God. We are told in Scripture we're created in God's image, which means we need to fellowship. We need to commune with God. In fact, David writes in Psalm 63, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You. Now, does that sound like we need an encounter with God, a relationship? Certainly. And until that encounter happens, there's nothing that will satisfy. No riches, no prestige, no power, no possessions. St. Augustine, one of the great thinkers in the church, said that we, humanity, in other words, cannot find rest until we find our rest in God. If you don't know what you're missing in life, if you feel like you've been looking for something and just can't quite find it, well, let me tell you what it is. There's a little hole in our life, and every person feels it. And we need to fill that hole. And maybe, just maybe, God might know about this need. And maybe He knows that Christmas is how He gives this quest of ours, this trying to fill that hole with a face and a name. It's a hole shaped like the baby Jesus. That's what fills our longing. And maybe that's just why God chose that. I mean, who can resist a little bitty baby? And so where do we find Jesus after Christmas? Now becomes our question today. Where do we find the baby Jesus after Christmas? Where do we find Jesus after the angel choirs have all stopped singing and gone back to heaven? Where do we find Him when the shepherds have returned from the field, from spreading the news to the people and gone back to their fields? When that holy child of Bethlehem has vacated the stable and the manger, where do we look for Him? Well, it's a little different shape, shaped like this, the cross. There He was murdered. He was brutalized for our transgressions. This cute little baby born of Bethlehem was pierced for our iniquities. Simeon told Mary that she would bear the pain of watching Him die. A sword would pierce her, even as that sword pierced His body. And she did experience that as she stood at the foot of the cross and watched Him finish the work His Heavenly Father had sent Him to do. And that is why Jesus came. Not just to be born in a manger, but to die in our place, to purchase our forgiveness, to bear our punishment. But even then, the story didn't end there at the cross and the grave. As you know, He rose the third day. He was more than a helpless little infant. In the resurrection, we see the rest of Jesus' persona, as we heard this morning in our reading. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Quite a change from that little baby in the manger. Quite a change even from the eight-day-old that Simeon saw in the temple. And that same Christ is still found here in His temple among us at this very moment. We meet Christ, that very Christ that once lay in a manger, the same Christ that Simeon held in his arms, right here. We find Him in the Word we hear read. We find that Christ in the forgiveness that we receive. We find Christ in the Holy Sacrament, in baptism, in the Lord's table. He comes to us through these means of grace. That Jesus, the one born in a manger, He comes to us. He comes to our hearts. And He comes to fill that hole in our hearts and in our souls. For months we've looked forward to Christmas, and now it's gone. Or is it? Maybe, if we're talking about the lights and the tinsel, I don't know if anybody uses tinsel anymore, but we put away the gifts and all the decorations. But if we're talking about meeting up with our Savior, then Christmas is more than just a day, more than just 12 days of Christmas. It is God with us. Emmanuel. He is the incarnate Son, present with us forever until the end of time when He returns. He is here just as He promised to be, wherever 2 or 3 or 15 or 20 are gathered together. He is here where His word of forgiveness of life is spoken. He's here for all who are searching. He's here in our hearts. And so we can say, as did Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we remember Pastor Scott and Julie Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galibas, Mary and Alfred Derson, Cynthia Scholten, Cassidy and her twin babies, Rhea and Emerson, Carl Rout, Dean and Sue Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Don and Donna Tallner, Ron Smistralla, and the family of Martha Schuler. Eternal Lord God, in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and give us the adoption as your sons and heirs. Hear us, Father, as we call to you in his name. Give us grace to rejoice in Christ's blessed incarnation and grant us a glad new year. Lord, in your mercy, lead your church, Lord, to follow the example of Blessed Simeon, that all baptized Christians would embrace the Christ child by word and faith, and so be ready to depart whenever they are called. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood on earth is named, bless Christian families with your promises. Give parents diligence and delight in their work, and grant your favor on all children, that they may grow in strength and wisdom. Bless widows, orphans, and broken families also with your mercy. And give them joy in the redemption you have won for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations and to those who govern for the good of their people. Bless our President, Congress, Governor, and all our leaders, that justice may prevail and your people would be free to live at peace with all. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, receive our prayers for those who suffer from loneliness. Comfort them with the sure and certain knowledge that you will never forsake them. Give them family and friends within the household of faith with whom they can find loving companionship. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, help the sick and suffering, especially those who desire our prayers, as we have so named. Surround them with your love in Christ, and according to your gracious will, heal them. Comfort those who mourn, those that we have named, and fill their hearts with a certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, Father of lasting peace, show your mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper, that they would behold their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ given for them, and with St. Simeon be well prepared to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen, amen, amen.
Everlasting, thou art God to